this holiday season, support Podnuts by doing all your shopping at podnuts.com/Amazon. Using that link will take you straight to Amazon, except they will give us a commission on any purchases you make. Thanks, and we hope everyone has a great holiday season. And now we will continue part two of Podnuts Daily number 355 with Tracy Holt.
Okay, the next thing is do not forget about this SneakerNet. And do you know what SneakerNet is?
No.
Yeah, this is, you've heard of Ethernet, you know, and everything like internet. SneakerNet is something we used in the corporate world in the 90s. When it wasn't on the network, you were walking stuff from computer to computer via floppy or something like that. It was called SneakerNet. SneakerNet advertising is getting some papers ready. Who, what, when, where, and why, you know, papers about you and your business, and you are going into small businesses. You are walking in.
Oh, SneakerNet.
Yeah. So, and a couple advice on that. Do not do this on Mondays or Fridays. Mondays are crazy. Fridays, no one cares. Okay. So keep it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And when you do it, if you're going in and they're real busy, come back because it's going to get thrown in the pile.
Yeah.
And just real quick, don't take a lot of the time. Just say, hey, my name is Tracy. I got a computer company here in town. Here's my information, you know, and just say, I appreciate it. And give them something tangible when you hand it to them where it won't cost you anything. And every tech company does it anyway. Say, I'll give you, you know, a free, you know, sit down consultation about you and your company, you know. Where you know you can go into most small companies and look around a half an hour and give them 10, 15 things they could do to fix. And odds are, if you do that, half of those will be business for you. So you'll just drum up more business.
Totally. Of course. That's a great idea.
And with that, doing that, they say, oh, I already have a tech guy. You know, he's, you know, and especially if they say he's a relative, he's this, he's that. And say, don't forget, I'm also... You know, don't say CIO, I'm a virtual CIO. They don't know what that is. Say, just say I'm a virtual, you know, chief information officer for you, virtual CIO. Whereas I don't do any tech work. I just look over everything, make sure everything is right to get a second pair of eyes on everything. And if they are in the medical field, you know, chiropractors, doctor's offices, dentist's office, lawyer's office, they really like that because that is more security for them.
I see. So how would you word it?
If you go in and you hand them and they tell you something, oh, I got a good tech guy or my brother does it or I got my neighbor does it and just say, that's good. I hope they do a good job for you. And they say, but don't forget, I do, you know, have a service, a virtual chief information officer. And then I repeat it saying a virtual CIO.
I see.
Some people don't know one. Some people know the other.
Right.
So I do say both right then and there. And then just say, you know, where I won't do any of the work. I just look over the work and create plans for you for them and to make sure what they're doing is what they're doing.
You do that remotely or?
When I do a virtual CIO, I have 6-7 companies I do it for right now. And two of them I do once a month and the other ones I do once a quarter. I go in, I spend about an hour or two walking around towards the end of the day. And when everybody leaves, I'll look around at some more. I go home, I write a report up and I send it to them.
Sure.
And that's about it. Just, some of the stuff on the machines I'm seeing, network, even physical stuff, hey, this back of this machine, you know, it's just a rat's nest. You know, the cable's going to go bad. They're going to kick them. It's going to fall off. Stuff like that.
I see. Good stuff.
The server, these machines, you know, are Vista and they only have Service Pack 1 on there. You know, those need to be upgraded.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm putting in all the reports now is XP end of life is spring of 14. Start getting your ducks in a row for a new machine. You know, start talking to your tech guy. You need to start upgrading. Same thing with server 2003 is going away. So you need to think about upgrading. So if you tell people they need to upgrade and they have a year to upgrade at least, they're not upset at all.
Right.
They have 30 days, they get upset.
Right.
So, and you're the good guy here because you're going in, tell them stuff that should be done that's not being done. So you're the good guy when you're the CIO.
Huh.
And most other tech companies don't get mad because almost probably 90% of what I tell them is just more business for the other tech company.
Yeah, that's funny.
So
it's a win-win.
Most of them don't. And I actually usually, who are you using? If they are a company, I talk to the company saying, hey, I'm just doing a CIO. I'm not doing any tech work for them. I'm not pushing it, you know, and I'll tell them if I see anything super, super critical, I will tell them, but I'm going to tell you right afterwards so it can be addressed. And most of them are like, I don't care. You know,
really?
Yeah, especially if you tell them I'm not stealing your customer, I'm just being their CIO. Some of them will go back and the customer will say, well, they said they'll do the CIO. And I said, that's fine. They can be your CIO, but you know, you won't have the second pair of eyes.
Right.
And that usually, then they're like, okay, yeah. So, and then one of the last things I do, and this really works pretty good for marketing. I get some business cards and I got a referral program on the front of it. It's $10 off. And I tape one of these to every machine when it comes into the shop. And what it is they give this to their friend. And what the card says on it is, if let's say you came into the shop and you had your computer worked on, Steve, you get this card. You put your name on back of the card. You just handwrite it in. You give it to your friend. Your friend gets $10 off immediately their next visit. Well, you now get a $10 credit also on your next visit.
Very cool.
Because you know as well as I do, the return visits for computer people, they are, you know, pretty regular.
Yes.
You know, so you now have a new client. Well, so they bring in, you know, 10 new clients in. I don't care. They have, you know, $100 credit on account. I don't care. I got 10 new clients.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely worth
very inexpensively for $10. If I can get a client, new client, you know, for $20, $10 each, I will get clients all day for $20 each.
Sure. Sure.
So that works really good. And they're just little business cards. And one gets taped on to every machine except, with the exception of two different laptops. If they got an Apple, we tuck it in. And if they got an Alienware, we tuck it in. Apple computer people and Alienware people do not like tape on their machines. Remember that, people. I'm going to say this again. Same thing with you have little labels for your machines. Don't put them on Alienware or Apples. They get very upset.
Good tip.
Yeah. So, and the next kind of topic you need to know about running a business is you need to have metrics. And if you don't know what metrics is, it's all about the numbers. Create a spreadsheet. I use Google Docs. I create a spreadsheet. Every customer that comes in the shop, it gets entered in, you know, I got every day's in this spreadsheet, you know, it's broken down by month, week and everything. So like on today's, it was AM, PM drop-offs, how many drop-offs we had in the morning, how many drop-offs we had in the afternoon. You know, how many pickups did we have today? How many diagnostics did we do today? How many remote jobs did we do? How many on-site jobs did we do? You know, how many backup software did we sell today? And then off of that, I've broken it down where I got charts where I can tell you, like right now, by far, my busiest day is Monday. And my second busiest day for drop-offs, just surely drop-offs, is Saturday. Okay.
Huh.
And that really affects, and not only that, are they morning or afternoons? Mondays, it's morning. Saturdays, it's afternoon. You know, so you really find a lot of information by keeping the metrics.
Yeah, and finding statistics will help you expand.
Yes. Pickups. My busiest day for pickups by far is Fridays. You know, for some reason, people pick their machines up on Friday. You know, so you really have all this information in hand. And not only that, after you get a couple years of it, you know, and keep a new one every year. I can now look back at, I know now the last 3 years, the Friday after Thanksgiving has been deader than a doornail, you know? So I only need one person in the shop that day who wants off, you know, oh, I do. And one's like, I don't care. I'm not going anywhere else today. Okay, cool. You guys can have it off. You work. Okay, great. So you know that kind of stuff. And then you see patterns, I see this time of year is kind of a slow time of year, and after Thanksgiving, beginning of December, I start picking up again. Same thing with in June, I start slowing down till middle of August. Middle of June, I slow down, I pick up middle of August again. So in July, I know I really try to push for me and my employees to take their vacations then. You know,
yeah,
little stuff like that you get to know and you get to learn. So
that's smart. I always used because I hated QuickBooks, but I did everything in Microsoft Accounting 2008, which actually I really liked.
Yeah, and I used that too. I used that until they stopped it. That by far was better than QuickBooks.
Yeah, it was great. And without that, I wouldn't have been able to sell my business because I had all the reports, cost, cost of goods sold and profits and all that stuff was in there, and made it real easy for me to sell the business. So it's a good thing to keep.
Yeah. So the more detailed metrics you have, and you have got to have your employees involved on this. And besides that, everybody that comes into the shop gets labeled how they heard of us, even if they're an existing customer.
Yeah. Good idea.
You know, not just if they're an existing customer, leaving a blank. No. If they're coming in, they're existing company, you're checking existing company, customer. Because right now, 60% of my business is existing customers. So, and that lets me know, okay, there's still a lot of growth I can do if I want.
Sure.
60% is new, and I'm not tapping my whole market yet. So, you just get to know your market, you know, if you ask everybody. And a trick you can do is your sign-in form when people fill out their information. Don't have them fill it in. Have a list for them. How did you hear about us? Right below where they sign their name or above where they sign their name, and have a big list of stuff on there, 10, 15 different things. And 90% of the people will fill it out. You don't even have to ask them.
Wow.
And the few people that don't circle it, just ask them, can I ask how you heard of us today? And some will say, oh, I've been here before. Cool. You know, or, oh, I drove by, you know, or Google. So it's what I'm finding out with Google also is I am also on Bing and Yahoo. Not as big, but Bing, how can I describe this? Bing followers to me are kind of like Apple followers. They're diehard. You know, they can do no wrong.
Really?
You know, yeah. If people that use Bing, you know, just stick by it. So don't forget to be on the Bing AdWords also. And if you understand the Google AdWords, you will understand the Bing. So don't worry about that.
I think it's called Microsoft Ad Center.
Yeah, yeah. And if you know one, it looks a little different. But if you know how to do the Google AdWords, you know how to do the Bing.
Yeah, so it looks more and more the same year after year. I remember when it first started. And
yes.
It's almost exactly identical now.
Exactly. Matter of fact, I think I copied and pasted one of the big fields.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, don't even worry about that. So, and I'm going to say this again, if you don't know how to do the Google AdWords, don't go by the TechSet website videos, because I knew nothing about it too. So, matrix, get it, know it, fill it out, and do it. It the first month when you do it, you're gonna boo-hoo, but once you start doing it and see the information, you're just gonna want more and more. So
awesome.
The next thing you gotta worry about having a tech business is security. We talked about this a little bit, is PC security. What are you gonna do if they get stolen? You have to have a plan. Are they in your house? Are you locking them up? Because besides somebody stealing the machine, you now owe them the machine, but you now are responsible for the data on that machine.
Sure.
Identity theft. So what I did is, and this was out of my pocket, of those people, machines were stolen, although there was no hard drive in it, I still paid for 1 year of identity theft for those people, you know, and it was like 80 or 90 bucks for the year per, but to me, it looked real good. And matter of fact, it was in the paper, the local paper, about the break-in, and the writer even put that in.
Saying, wow.
You know, he put out of his pocket identity theft for these people. That just looked good.
Yeah, that looks great.
And if anybody says later, you got your PC stolen, they're like, oh, your PC was stolen? And they're going to say, yeah, I had, you know, yeah, weren't you worried about identity theft? No, they bought identity theft. So instantly they know you're ahead of it. So you have to have that in a row. What are you going to do? How are you going to lock the machines up? You know, because you do have to lock them up some way, shape, or form. You just can't leave them out.
Sure.
So, and the next thing is you need to start creating processes for your company. This helps you and new employees. You should create one new process a week minimum. Processes are real easy. Get yourself a letterhead. Here you go. Steps 1 to 3. And a process on everything. Each of my techs are responsible for creating one new process a week. It's part of their job in their job description. They create it, you know, with screenshots, and they send it to me. I clean it up and I post it. And it, so, and this is on everything. A new tech can come in and it can say, here's how you clean a virus. Go to safe mode. Well, how do I go to safe mode? Let me go to the safe mode sheet. Here's how you go to safe mode. XP, Vista, 7. Here's how you go to safe mode. Okay. And do this. Do this first when you get into safe mode. Go to that process. So when you have a new employee, it's right there. Everything's there for you.
It's like they're writing a technical manual for you little by little.
Exactly. Right. And you're saying, well, I don't need one for me. You should have one for you for the days you're overwhelmed with a lot of work. Stuff will slip through the crack, especially the check sheet for virus cleaning and reloads.
Plus, everybody's doing it the same way, too. It keeps it standard.
Exactly, because even when we got to process how we clean viruses, what order we use, and the different software we use. So if I can buy a machine and software X finished, well, I instantly know I need to start, you know, software Y. You know, I don't have to think about it. I don't have to ask. Right. I don't have to look. I just know that, you know, this is done. This is next. And the person that was originally working on that sees that, oh, somebody came by and did the next step for me. Great. Now I can do this next step Z. So it create processes and write them down. And it looks good. It really looks good when people come in. And especially if you ever, because if you want to build a business up to sell it, if you even think about down the line, I might want to sell it. This is mandatory also, because somebody's going to come in and they're going to be like, look at the manual. They're going to be like, wow.
Huh, totally. You know? It's a great thing.
So yeah. So create processes of what you're doing. And you say 1 a week, how do they come up with new stuff? There's processes on everything you can think about.
Oh God. You know? Yeah. They can easily do that.
You know, blue screen of death. You know, how do you search for blue screen of death on Google? Okay, write it down what you do, you know, and then I'll look at it and say, yeah, do this and this and change it. Okay, then they change it and it's done. So, yeah, so have, you know, processes. Another thing, if you work for a dentist's office, a chiropractor's office, anything in the medical field, are you HIPAA certified? You better be, because you are liable if you are not.
Is that expensive?
I think the test and everything depends on where you go is $20-$30 a person.
It's not bad.
And it's not hard at all. Basically, the questions are like, you know, Steve's first name is what? Steve, you passed. If you just pay slightly attention, I'm not saying fully, during their presentation or during their slideshow or their movies they have before you take the test, you'll pass.
Okay.
You know, and have that prominently displayed in your shop. And if you're doing sneaker net or anything like that, and you're going to any medical office, it's one thing you can say, although other techs might be it, you can say every tech I have is HIPAA certified.
Yeah, that sounds great.
So, and they're like, ooh, cool. You know, what does that mean? It's common sense. All HIPAA is common sense. And you'll know that that's all it is.
Okay.
So yeah, get HIPAA certified. Another thing is about running a business is embrace new technologies. Every one of us techs knows that one tech that still is in DOS only, you know, and he's just left behind because he did not want to go, you know.
Yep.
You have got to embrace new technology. You don't have to like it. Nuh-uh. There's a difference between embracing and liking. You know, you have to know it. You have to know what to do.
You could still use your old technology at home.
You could use your old technology at home. You can use it in the shops, but you have to know what it is. Like the big one now is cloud. People are saying, yeah, but I like the servers on there. The servers work better. That is fine. Do servers. You have better know the cloud. You have better know what to do about the cloud. You better answer questions when they ask about the cloud. So that's just, I'm just using that one as an example. You know, you might not care about it, but if somebody's saying about cloud, and they talk to you about it, you can say, the cloud can do this, this, and this.
Sure.
But I prefer local servers because this, this, and this.
Right.
That's acceptable. But you just have to know it and embrace it. And like I said, you don't have to like it. You have to know it. You have to do it. And if you're pushing a huge product, if you are going to your clients for cloud, let's say you want cloud services and you want to start being a cloud shop, you know, just as a reseller and setting up and stuff like that, you better use the technology too. You know, you're really, really pushing, you know, Microsoft, you know, their 365, or I forgot what they're calling it.
I don't even know.
Microsoft Live or whatever it is. And the Google apps, you're just pushing those. You know, they want the Google, they want to go Microsoft. It doesn't matter. You're pushing it, you're pushing it. And they ask, what are you using? Oh, I got an Exchange server. What? You know, if you're really pushing something, you better use it.
Right.
You know, because that will bite you in the butt if you don't.
Good point.
Yeah. Another thing is clients' data have some sort of written policy in hand. Otherwise, you can get nailed. If when you back stuff up, what is your policy? How long do you keep it? What do you do with it? Everything like that. If you're backing client's machine up, it better be on a RAID, at least a RAID 1 device. Do not back stuff up on a hard drive or flash drive. If that fails, you're done. It's gone. If it fails on the RAID 1, you got the other hard drive. So do not back stuff up unless it's a RAID 1.
Okay.
And you can get really inexpensive RAID 1 USB drives. You know, I use FreeNAS, and I do have a couple USB RAID 1 boxes I use also. And I use a lot of the RAID 1 USB boxes for the backing up Macs. When you back up Macs, the Apple, when it crashes and you can't get into it, you know, they lock a lot of the stuff down. So what I do is I boot up with a Linux Live CD, and it doesn't work over the network too well, but it works great local. You have to open up as root, as the administrator in Linux, a file explorer for the hard drive, and you also have to open it up as root your destination folder. Okay, so if you open up, you know, basically as administrator root, the Apple hard drive and your external hard drive plugged into it, you can drag and drop to back an Apple up. That's all you need to do.
Okay.
You know, Puppy, Mint, Ubuntu, who cares? But so have some kind of written policy.
And what would you put in your policy?
Something real easy. You know, we back stuff up, and when we back it up, after the people pick up their machine and they sign for their machine, we keep it for 7 days. You know, anytime we back somebody up, we put their name on it and the date.
Yeah, that's smart.
And then when the people pick it up, it's just something we do. It's a procedure. Is Steve Turbino picked his machine up. I now go to the NAS device, go to Steve Turbino. You know, it said 11/12/2012, you know. He picked it up on the 14th. I changed the 11/12, the backup date, to 11/14, the pickup date. And I know 10 days from now, because mine is 10 days, just easy math. It's easy for me. When it gets to 24, anything 24, I could delete. When it gets to 24, anything 14 and past, I delete.
Gotcha.
So that way, if anybody comes back and says, you know, here's where that comes in play, is you kept this. The customer came back and said, do you still have this 2 days later? And you say, yeah, I still have it. Another comes back, you know, a month later and says, do you have it? Yeah, I still have it. I haven't got around to deleting it yet. Another person comes in and says, oh, I'm sure glad you saved your data. You know, it's been 20 days ago and you deleted it because you ran out of space. Well, why did you keep it for them and not me?
Huh.
You know, that when you tell the people and they pick it up, hey, we keep your data, make sure you check everything in the next, and we keep it 10, but we tell them 7. You know, we keep it for 7 days and then it's gone. So verify your data.
Have you ever had somebody come back on the eighth day and it's going, man, do you still have the data?
Yes. Once a month we'll have somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. Once a month we'll have somebody coming back saying, man, I goofed up. And I was, because when somebody gets a new reinstall and they got the data, for some reason, people just freak out. I don't know what it is. And they really try to clean stuff up too much. You know, man, I know you moved my documents over, but I deleted this folder and you said you keep it for eight. Do you have it? We'll go and we'll look. Yeah, we still have it here. Oh, great. So, and you are now the lifesaver because they know that up front. But if it's, a you know, 11 days, odds are you're not going to have it.
Gotcha.
You know, so they know that up front. It's in writing, keeps you out of trouble. Another thing is you need to have some kind of tracking system for your machines. For 4 years, I just did it on a spreadsheet.
Okay.
And it was Google Docs. You know, it was a big Google Docs because it was searchable. It was easy. You know, the first column was the name of the person, had their address. The column next to it, the machine, make, and model next to it, because I could add a line. I could do everything in that. So if I got another machine from that person, I could just add a line below the name and add a machine, what the problem was, the date of the problem, and everything like that, you know, which was fine. That's all you need. So you do not have to buy anything. Well, and like 3 years ago, I switched to PC Repair Tracker. Great program. I cannot recommend it enough. The guy that develops, it's a really good guy. It's pretty inexpensive too. I think it's a one-time cost of like $200. If you want the updates, it's $100 a year. But besides keeping track of everything, it's also an invoice software. You know,
good.
It's inventory for you. You know, it does all that. It figures my taxes out for me for sales tax. You know, it's very nice. And it looks really, really good. Before I go on site to a client, I already have them in the system. I log on because it's web-based, so I can get to it anywhere. And I just got a hosted website, like most of the techs do, and it's just a subfolder of that. You know, so it's easy to get to. And I knew nothing about PHP. I did this before any of the PHP from your website thing. I knew nothing of PHP or MySQL, and I had this up and going for me in less than an hour.
Wow.
So it's that easy. And it does everything. It you can even, if you get, you know, those one little, I forgot what they're called, those little tiny label printers.
Dymo.
Thank you, Dymo. He manufactured it for Dymo, but basically what it is when somebody checks it in, you can say create asset label. So now every machine that comes in, it comes on with the machine name, the customer's name, plus my phone number. Well, besides that, if you have a laptop, two's printed off. One goes on the power cord. One goes on the bottom of the laptop. You know?
Yeah,
you,
that's really smart.
In a non-prominent location. So now Joe comes back to check a machine in. I look at the sticker. Yeah, you've been here before.
Right.
And then I put machine number 1287, put it in there. Boom, it's up. You still live at da-da-da. Here's your phone. Yep, here.
And the whole history of the machine, too.
Exactly. And here's where that comes in handy, too, is... And we get at least once a week somebody coming in with this thing here. Man, I just picked this thing up and it's doing the same thing. You know, and then what's your name? I'll look it up, you know, like I had one this morning. Man, I just picked this thing up. It's doing the same thing. I can't believe you guys. And I look at it. You picked it up in May. You know,
yes.
like really? You picked this up in May. It wasn't May. Look right here, May. Well, I guess it was in May, wasn't it? Yeah, okay. So, yeah. But like you said, and it keeps track of everything. And it's just click. You don't have to do a lot of typing in this. Because you can just put, like, even the number of viruses. Like in the little box, you put 87, click malware bytes. Poof. And it says clean 87 malware bytes.
Wow.
You can print off a really detailed list for customers to have if you want.
That's cool.
They even have quick checklists. You see file sharing programs. You're low on memory, low on hard drive space, all this stuff you check. And it's on that client report when they get that gives you extra work for the future.
That's pretty cool.
So it's the PC Repair Tracker is great. There's some others out there, but PC Repair, it does everything I need. As soon as I started invoicing from there, I got rid of QuickBooks.
Oh, yeah. Any reason to get rid of QuickBooks is a good reason.
Exactly. Oh, man. And I went to something called, now I do have something for my bookkeeping. I use something called Working Point. It's web-based. It's like $15 a month, I think.
Okay.
Something like that. But I can import my bank accounts. I can categorize for my taxes. And my tax guy, just give him my login. He logs in, prints his report, and we're done.
Sweet.
So you can do that. So this is just a kind of a high overview of the business side of a tech. Now, I am saying this. I will mention this now. And I'm not saying this to drum the business up or anything. But I am starting a side business on being a business, kind of tech business coach, let me say.
Drum it up, man. We need
you
this.
If you are starting a tech company and you don't know where to turn, I am starting a side business on helping people out for this thing here too. Now, even if you don't get a tech person like me to help you out, you should have a business coach. I still hire a business coach. Look at the best golfers in the world. Each of them have a coach. You know, right now, the best quarterback probably, no, Aaron Rodgers, he's got a quarterback coach. You know, up and down the line, if you are a true professional, you still have a coach.
Yeah.
And even if it's not like somebody in the tech world being your coach, there is companies that help you with your business side to help you grow. So, and I am starting that, and mine is geared more just to techs. You know, this is starting and you're overwhelmed. Hey, here are some forms I used, change it for you, you know, help you get everything rolling and everything like that. Sitting down, talking about stuff. I want to do this, this, and this. And I could say, yep, you can do that, but think about this and stuff like that. It's still your business. I'm just, you know, helping you with some of the advice on the business side.
Where can people find out more about that service you're offering?
Just email me at my company or something like that. Tech, TECH at htredneck.com, htredneck.com. HT is basically high tech redneck.
So tech at htredneck.com.
Yep. And if you can't find it whatsoever, you know, Tracy at the Techie Geek, I get that in too. You know, I still get quite a few emails from that. People asking me questions, cause that email's out there for me a lot too. I get that one too. But yeah. And it's even some of the stuff, you know, like you have to have a procedure checking a machine in, you know, excuse me. Sorry about that. When you check a machine in, you know, what do you do? Are they signing, releasing liability? Stuff like that, that, you know, I would help out saying, hey, here's a form, here's a base form. You know, hey, go spend $100, talk to a local lawyer, have them tweak the wording for your area, and you're ready. Because you get a machine in for somebody and they didn't sign over liability, you accidentally delete their data, you're not liable for their data.
Yeah.
So just little thing like that, they sign it, and if you accidentally delete it, they can do all they want. You signed right here. We're not liable. So little stuff like that, you know, that helps out just to save time and aggravates and, you know, just stuff like that. So, And I do want to say, make sure you guys check the Kickstarter out he talked about, and anybody $50 or more will be in a drawing. And I will say, except me, I did donate more than that. I'm not saying that, and I will take my name out of the drawing. Steve has a list. I won't have the list. I do not need to know the list. He'll just at random pick one of them and let me know. And I will get that person a 64 gig USB stick.
Awesome. Yeah, it won't be you. I won't pick you.
A bite for myself. Steve's like, it's me. I won, Tracy, believe it or not.
You're right. Well, man, thanks a lot for the information in the show. It was really awesome. I mean, it's a good little wrap up too at the very end, saying that you will be a mentor or coach, because you pretty much demonstrated you got the whole system down pat. So I would hire you.
It's unfortunately I had to kind of learn all this as I went.
Yeah,
you know, it's in hindsight, I wish I would have had somebody I could have turned to. You know,
yeah.
And I kind of lucked out. My business coach, that is just strictly business coach, used to be a CIO up until the mid 90s. He's not technical, but he kind of knew that area. So I really, really lucked out where he could say, hey, don't forget about this.
Right, right.
You know, so I really, really lucked out. And because he was for IBM at that point. So, you know, I lucked out with that point.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's cool. Good find on him, and really smart that you're taking all these precautions with your business because you don't want to be at risk. I didn't do any of this stuff hardly, and I lucked out. And if I would have had my business much longer, maybe something would have came up and I would have got really screwed and went into bankruptcy. So
it, yeah, because you're liable, you know, and you got to think about, did you create a corporation or LLC?
I didn't even do that.
You might want to, because now you're liable.
Exactly.
You know, somebody breaks in, steals the 40 computers you have in the back you're working on. Okay, now you're out $40,000.
Yeah, exactly.
You are now liable. You can't go bankrupt. That's personal. You know, they'll take everything you have, you know, because business debt is getting harder and harder and harder to declare bankruptcy. Somebody will bail you out, but now you owe them $40,000.
Right, right.
So business debt is a little different than personal debt. So remember that. So,
well, great stuff, man. Thank you very much for coming on the show. This was your first time on Podnuts Daily, wasn't it?
First time Podnuts Daily. Yep, yep. Been on Linux for the Rest of Us a couple times, a couple other things. But
were you on Android App Addicts before? One time?
Yeah, I was on twice. I think twice. Door tried to get me on a couple more times, but I am going 20 different directions. It's like I said before, besides having my company, me and my wife have a fruit and berry farm. And so time is, and I'm becoming a ham radio junkie. I'm really turning into one.
Really?
I never thought I'd say that, but
there's a podcast waiting to happen, right?
It's actually we're in the process of, we recorded episode one. And we got the name. We don't have the location, but some of you guys know Joel McLaughlin out there from the Linux Link Tech Show. Me and him are, and somebody else thinks they might want to join us, are starting a ham. And here's where we're coming for this. Joel knows a huge amount about ham. He knows more than he talks about. I am still a rookie. I equate myself to the 90s Microsoft certified systems engineers. Very, very book smart. They pass the test, but they don't know any real world knowledge. That's me. I'm starting to, you know.
Yes.
Like I'm building my own dipole antenna. I've learned more about antenna the last weeks than I knew my whole life.
Wow, sounds pretty fun, man.
Yeah, so it stuff like that. So we're getting perspectives, and I'm not afraid to ask the question that people don't want to look stupid, because I already know I look stupid, so I don't mind asking the stupid questions. So time for me is what I was saying is pretty much nil and void. So he tried to get me on a couple times, but I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't.
I gotcha. Well, at least you're not claiming that you're banned from the show like Eric Salce.
Oh, no, sometimes he would like to ban me, but,
Well, this was a great show, man. I think listeners are going to really eat up this data. They've probably been starving for it. I know a couple of them are saying, you know, we know you're trying to sell Podnuts and whatever, but we really missed the show. And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. This is one show, I pretty much slipped down to about 6 podcasts. I listen to some, I don't listen to music, but I'm so heavily into audiobooks.
Yeah.
Okay. I am an Audible subscriber 2 a month. You know, I'm an audiobook junkie. I will admit that. So, but this is one I listen to hands down. It's because somebody mentioned to me in passing the software that I heard, like that D7 software.
Yeah.
Unflippin' believable.
Really?
Yeah. It's, I used it for 3 days in my shop, and I bought the tech license.
Wow. You know,
it saves me that much time for me and my techs. It's an unbelievable, and I just heard it in passing. You guys didn't even talk about it. One of the person was talking about, yeah, I heard about this thing, D7. It did a pretty good job, and then you went to something else. And I'm like, oh? So I have a little voice recorder in my car that I just put down, and every night I listen to my notes in D7, and I went to it and I'm like, wow. So if you haven't heard of D7, just go check out D7, the program, you know, Delta 7. It's really good.
We interviewed the creator of it.
Oh, did you?
Well, Eric did when I wasn't hosting. Eric Ardini did. But just so yeah, I'm just putting you on the spot, okay, giving you a hard time. But
because I talked to the creator a few times. I didn't know that. He's a great guy.
Good guy. Well, see, here's the problem. Like, Eric interviewed him. I was so out of the loop. I didn't even know what the program was or who he was. So that's where I'm at, guys. Just want you to know, I've never used D7 in my life. So that's why we're doing the Kickstarter, and that's why we're trying to get things turned over to people who know this stuff. And
yeah, I'm even thinking about selling D7 to some of my clients.
There you go.
Because it can be persistent. So it's a good piece of software.
Yeah. So to continue having people knowledgeable, do shows about things they should be knowledgeable about, I urge you guys to go over to podnuts.com/Kickstarter and pledge $6 million. All right.
That's right.
Tracy, thanks a lot for coming on the show. It has been really fun. And I'll be definitely talking to you, you know, in and around the podcast world here. So thanks again.
No problem. I appreciate coming on. I am a cable cutter. I don't have cable. Cable sucks. I'll admit that. So, yeah, I much prefer podcasts and everything like that at night to anything on TV, except hockey, since there's a lockout. So I don't have anything right
now. Damn, I'm with you. No TV for me, man. No cable. I have cable. No, I have Fios internet, but no cable, no TV. I am I'm a cord cutter too, and I don't know, man. You feel smarter, more enlightened, and able to live life better, I think, without that.
Exactly.
Stuff. Yeah.
Do you have a Roku?
I do have a Roku, but the only thing I use it for is Tech News Today, like probably before I go to bed.
Yeah, I was gonna say Roku Today, Tech News Today. I watch it's. There's a couple channels on there that, have you heard of Plex, P-L-E-X?
I heard of it, but I have not used it.
Plex is a media server program. It's Windows, Linux, or Apple. Basically, you install the server on the machine, and you point to audio and video files. Well, you can now have a Plex client
on Roku?
On Roku, or on your tablet, you know, Apple or whatever. And you can now stream all of them, and they encode on the machine and stream it to the local device.
So cool.
And besides that, you can open a port up, be on your little Nexus or your iPad, wherever you're at, and stream your home movies.
Eric brought this up on last AAA for the Android show. I think it was Eric. Sorry if it wasn't. Might have been Sean. And it sounds amazing. I don't have too much media on my computer. I stream everything from other people's servers anyway.
Yeah, well, what I do is, you know about video podcasts. Mm-hmm. I know you do. That's how I watch all of like the Twitch shows and, you know, Revision 3 and all of them shows is, you know about Miro, M-I-R-O?
No.
It's a video. You can use regular audio, but it's a podcast client that makes it real easy that you can watch video stuff through there and everything like that. They got a channel guide. It makes it real nice.
Wow.
M-I-R-O. But basically, it's an RSS aggregator. What I do is I have Plex Monitor Folder X. I now have my 15 video podcasts that I watch all the time download automatically. And they now get dumped into Folder X. Well, Plex every 12 hours updates it. So now I don't have to watch it in the computer or anything like that. I can go on my TV, fire up Plex, go to my web videos, and see what's new on there and just watch them there.
Damn.
Because remember, I'm in the country. You know, my speed is, I'm really stable at 2.5 to 3.5 now. People are like, what? And I'm happy. I have a hard time streaming really good quality.
I see.
So I download everything first. So that's what I
see.
Do.
That's
so
what I was going to say.
I don't have to wait for stuff to download now. It doesn't matter. It's there. The internet's down. I have everything there. And another nice thing is you're researching a topic on YouTube. And you know those downloaders for YouTube?
Yeah.
I just download the videos to that folder. And then I do a force refresh on that. By the time I get to my TV and get Plex going, all those videos are on there.
I see. That's smart. Good use of tools.
Yeah, between Miro and Plex, it's a great tool. So
good stuff, man.
I appreciate coming on, and I do want to thank everybody that's been on the show before me, have listened and gotten advice on. Every one of you, I do appreciate. So I do want to thank everybody, because I got a lot of good stuff from you guys, and thank you.
Yeah, when Podnuts Daily starts ramping up again, it would be cool to just go through everybody who ever did the show and ask them to come back and do like round two for everyone.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Alrighty. Well, thanks again, Tracy, and thank you everybody for listening, streaming, watching. Well, not watching. Listening, whatever you're doing. That's going to be it for Podnuts Daily for this week. See you next time.